Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The college football playoff yet again yesterday. We know the Sugar Bowl took place in the afternoon due to the rescheduling of that game with the terrorist attack in New Orleans. We now have the semifinals set with Georgia going down yesterday to Notre Dame. So it'll be Notre Dame-Penn State on Thursday. And then on next Friday, a week from today, we'll have, I think, the game everybody's most excited for, Texas and Ohio State in Arlington. It should be epic. Should be awesome. Cannot wait for that. But there's a lot of conversation about the teams that had bye weeks, because all four of the teams that had a bye,
lost.
They all lost. And all four had slow starts. I think that, while that's accurate, that is a fact that did happen, I think you can explain away just about every single one of them. For example, they were all underdogs. Like, none of them were, quote unquote, supposed to win.
No, by the time Oregon kicked off, they'd started as a favorite. They were
a point and a half underdog. Like, so in Boise State, nobody thought they were going to win. They were 10.5-point dogs. Arizona State was a 13.5-point underdog. Oregon, as you said, was the closest spread, but in one point they were a favorite. And then Georgia was an underdog, and also they had a backup quarterback who didn't play terrible, but everybody just thought he was going to just run right in there and lead them to a national title. Like, so I what I'm saying is, I don't think 1 year sample size of the bye week in college football playoff should not now be like, well, see, you don't want to buy. You don't want to buy in the NFL anymore. You don't want to buy in college football anymore. I think that is a big reach to make that point, especially the NFL comparison, because we're talking about 18, 19-year-old college kids having 3 weeks off versus 28-year-old NFL veteran having 3 weeks off. A little bit different.
Well, it's not even 3 weeks. It's only two for the NFL, right?
Sure.
Right.
Yeah, but tighten it up in college. What the hell? Like, I do think that there's a difference between having 2 weeks off and 3 weeks off and a month off, or the amount of time they have college athletes take the time off. I'm with you. Do I think that the rest time was the single biggest reason why those teams started cold? No. They were all supposed to lose. And so if that's the case, well, then no, they were just outmatched. That was part of the problem. The other thing, like, so no, I don't think that that needs to be revisited or those things. And I'll just tell you right now, if you gave the teams a choice, just say, hey, you're the number one seed, you get a choice. You can either play this weekend with a home game in your building, or you can take a bye week. I'll take the bye week.
Take the bye.
I mean, still,
some of these
the
college
too,
players honestly are going to have to play 15, 16 games now.
The path part has been front and center. The minute the bracket came out, I think we all agreed that Oregon had the toughest path and kind of got screwed with that. They have to revisit that potentially. I'm always NFL, college, take whatever sport, any sport that offers me one less game to win a title, I'm taking that path. I don't care. Honestly, I don't, home games or not.
I don't care if the path is
tougher. Get me one less game to win a championship in any sport, and I will take that playoff path.
I do really think, though, I think you're right, Gold. There's not a, you can't just say after one season, oh, you know, see, like, this, because, again, Arizona State almost won the game, but they are on paper, quote-unquote, an inferior team. Boise State, inferior. I think it makes it worth really having a bye if they get the home game as well. I think it means a little bit more, where it depends on where the game is at too. Like, say for instance that Georgia Notre Dame game was in Atlanta for whatever reason. Like, it just happened to be that is a pro Georgia crowd anyways.
Sure.
It's almost like it's a home game. So Notre Dame kind of gets outed, but in a way they also got to host a game as well. I think being able to host a game on campus would give more of a fair advantage, because in the NFL, obviously, there's no neutral site games on stuff for the Super Bowl. So you get the bye. It still goes through Arrowhead. It doesn't matter. Where I think Arizona State should have been able to host that game.
Oh, in a perfect world, I'm with you, man.
Yeah, like,
in a perfect world, I'm 100% with you. We just know that for the semis, the Fiesta Bowl is just not going to give up. The Sugar Bowl is not going to give that up and go like the Sugar Bowl.
Is it a site thing or is it the sponsorship thing? Because I think there's I don't think there's a proper.
Because the city of New Orleans,
it's what college football has built itself up to be over the last 40 years.
But it's not what college football is foundationally.
No, but the Sugar Bowl's been around for like 100 years, though. You know what I mean?
I know, it's always been in New Orleans, I believe. But the foundation of college football itself is not neutral site games. I get that the site's there. I understand why they go to the Rose Bowl and why they go to Pasadena. Yeah.
There's too much money involved. There's too many of these ADs and college presidents that are buddy-buddy with these guys that are the executive of the Sugar Bowl or whatever, and they all just buddy-buddy. They all make money together, and they're not ending that relationship, even though for a fan perspective, I'm with you. Yeah, have the first two rounds on campus sites. It'd be incredible. But there's less money in that, and we just know how this whole thing operates.
And I do think it's a big money printing machine. I think to a point, though, so when... The way that we tie this into conference champions as well is interesting. So the Sugar Bowl always has been associated with the SEC. The Fiesta Bowl has always been associated with the Big 12. And you can go down the line with the other two, the Cotton Bowl and the Peach Bowl, I think, is the other one. But they've been associated with teams. Maybe you just, the SEC champ hosts a game, hosts the Sugar Bowl. You've got that affiliation. I think add two more teams, get rid of the buys,
have everyone start at the same time, stop at this like 3 weeks off, and then you play a game, and then you take two more weeks off, and then you play a game, and then it's 2.5 more weeks before you play the national title game. They put way too much time in between the games.
If you expand, they should go to 16, not 14.
Fine. And remember, they cannot officially expand until 2031. They can make some other tweaks before that with approval from these conference committees.
Yeah,
it's gotta be. But they can't expand, and that is something that they cannot change. I know you're like, oh, sure they can. No, that's why we had to wait so long to get to 12. Like that'll be true until 2031. What was the article though? We played the audio. I don't know. Was it 3 weeks ago, guys? The days are all getting mixed up. But
I don't know what day it is.
The proposal to get what everybody wants, which is the home sites, but also still make sure the money's involved. This is where the conference championship games become the earlier weekend. Those become essentially the Fiesta Bowl, if you will.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how you do it. Maybe that's the solution. I don't know.
Because I think you're right. Guys, and the fact that the relationships with ADs and the presidents and everything like that, it goes back to the TV partners and all those other things. I wonder if there's a way, again, this is why you almost need a college football commissioner in a way, like whether it's Nick Saban or somebody else recently was asked and they said absolutely not. Urban Meyer, I think, was asked about it.
Yeah.
Somebody has to be the face of it where they get all of the questions and there's a board collectively that goes to the commissioner and presents ideas or whatever the case is, and then they collectively vote on things, and it makes it even. Again, that's a perfect world, which we're not in right now.
But it's like, I think we have to remember something about the college football playoff and the current state of college football, which is its revitalization, or whatever they're going to call it. It is in its infancy. This is the very first year we've expanded the field to 12 playoff teams. So that's new.
Mm-hmm.
This is just like the third year of like full blown NIL. So that's very
new. And that's going to change.
And I agree with the text line. Like, I don't think NIL has even the playing field as much as it will yet.
Yeah, we got to wait for some laws to pass. Yeah.
Yet. So like those things are movable. But in the end, it's still better. Like, can I point out, like, I know that everyone's upset that it's like the same big schools, right? It's Georgia, it's Notre Dame, or not Georgia, it's Texas, it's Notre Dame. It's the same schools you're used to.
It's always going to be that way.
Yeah, it probably was. But at the very least, in the previous system, Boise State didn't even get to play a game.
No, they had a legit shot to win a title this year.
They weren't even given a chance. And in every other iteration of the college football playoff and the BCS, the final four teams who currently remain weren't in. 5, 6, 7, and 8 weren't in. They didn't even get a chance to win a national championship, and at least this year, one of those teams will. That's good for me.
But remember, though, in the way the bracket's set up, if you're ranked 5th in the bracket, doesn't mean you were the 5th-ranked team.
Yeah, that's fair.
Boise State was a third-seeded team. They weren't third in the country.
But they wouldn't have been the 4th team at all.
No.
Right.
But
in the AP top 25, these teams are probably two, maybe don't make it.
Texas still would have been in.
Yeah.
Even if we... I think if we would have done 4, right?
It'd been close for Texas.
And TCU... Not TCU. SMU would have been out for sure. Boise State would have been out, because I think Boise State was 10 in the final rankings.
Yeah, 10 or 11, something like that. Yeah.
But Arizona State, typically, the Big 12 winner would get in. They would have probably been in the Final Four.
Hell, Arizona State was 16th in the country when they were playing
Clemson
in the Big 12
ended
title
up
game.
13th, weren't they?
Yeah, or something
like that.
Yeah, yes, like that.
But they weren't the 13th seed, were they? Or were they actually the final spot? I can't remember how that planned out.
They were the 12th seed,
that's right.
But they were 13th
in the country. Yeah. Okay,
but I like that there's at least, of course it still favors the big boys. That's how college football works. It's an imbalanced sport.
What do you make of this idea?
The same as Major League Baseball favors the Dodgers. Like, it's not, you know.
What do you make of this idea from the text line? Someone says, flip the first round in neutral. They're saying first round are the Fiesta Bowl and those. Quarterfinals become the campus sites. What do you guys make of that?
They still get their Fiesta Bowl that are college football playoff games.
So like the SMU. So I go. So SMU and Clemson. Or SMU. I'm sorry. And who did SMU play opening round, guys?
Penn State.
SMU, Penn State. That would have been, let's just call it
the Fiesta Bowl. Sure.
And then the Sugar Bowl would have been Texas and Clemson instead.
Yeah, that's fine.
Sure.
And do that. I mean, that works. I don't know if the bowl committee is like that, but that's one way to do it. And then the quarterfinals become the campus sides.
So then the seeds that win their conferences get to host a game, essentially.
Here's my only issue with it, Drew, is that we've had a number of conversations about how to fix the NFL and college over the last, during the show. I was asking it about it when we were talking about 14-win teams and, like, should be different. And we're like, well, but we seem to be fine if we just, like, seed them based on this, and you're like, well, it's based on rankings. It's too big of an advantage for college teams to get to host semifinal games in their home building. It's too big of an advantage in college football. Hosting a whole playoff game
semis,
if you're Kansas City. I know, but like
quarterfinals would be like, the most they would ever do.
Hosting a home playoff game for Kansas City does not hold anywhere close to the same number of value as like hosting in Athens.
I agree, there is
a huge swing in the ability to get an upset in college football by not keeping just all of them neutral site. And the home site thing's cool because that's college and all this.
Until they expand, though, Cody, I think that it gives the conference title game even more significant meaning of not only do you get a bye in some cases, but you get to host a game. It's a huge deal. It becomes the most important game of the season if you're in that game, regardless of what happens, where sometimes you might say Oregon would be better off losing that game to Ohio State, some people said, or to a Penn State, where they wouldn't be because they not only get to host a game in Eugene, they get the bye as well. And I think that would impact things a little bit. Not to say they wouldn't lose to Ohio State, but I think it would impact things just a little bit more.
Look, we know people are going to complain no matter what they ultimately decide to do with this. Because I was just thinking as we were talking this out, I'm like, I know people would have been upset. Because what you're saying is, hey, if win your conference, you should get a home game or whatever. But based on the rankings as well and winning their conference and being the group of five rep, Boise State hosting a game on the blue, people would have said, oh, they don't deserve to host it. They don't deserve to host a playoff game. But that, under what we're discussing, that's what people are saying they want. They want them to have a first round game.
I would love that. Put them on the blue.
But people would have complained about that. They would have said they don't deserve a home game. So that's what my issue is. There's always going to be somebody that thinks whether it's the SEC fan or the Big Ten fan, that always thinks that they should have the better path and they're always better than everybody else. We were a 4th-and-10 conversion away from not having a single SEC team in the semifinals.
And that team wasn't even in the SEC last year.
Yeah.
Texas. That's right.
They've only been in the league for a single year.
That's right.
It took Texas to save the SEC.
There is definitely some irony with the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
The whole situation there. It's enjoyable.
Whether you want to
buy
in a bear market or
sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.